Hello, and welcome to the Jim Baker Show, coming to you during the COVID-19 crisis. Today is day two with our special guest, author and expert on Middle East prophecy, Joel Richardson. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Lori Crable, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from the Baker family home in the beautiful Ozark Mountains, here's your host, Mondo de la Vega.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to day two with our special guest, Joel Richardson. You're not going to want to miss one bit. And if you missed yesterday, shame on you. No, go back and watch it. You're not going to want to miss what Joel shared on his brand new book, Sinai to Zion, the untold story of the triumphant return of Jesus. What an hour that we're in right now, girls. And by the way, my name is Mondo. This is my beautiful sister, Maricela.
Hello, everyone.
And Lori Crable. And we are the Baker family. And listen, what a joyful moment we are living in right now to be a part of your life.
Yes.
We feel like your family.
That's right.
And we share with you our ups and downs, our happy moments, our crazy moments. And you know what? We're family. Mm-hmm. And we want to thank you so much for praying for mom and dad.
Yes.
And right now, dad is resting. And you know, you've watched him come back to the program. He told you he was going to come back.
Right.
But listen, we're not here to take over at any moment. We're here to support our mom and dad. And we're here to stand with them. And as you're standing with him in prayer and in your financial support, we want to thank you from our family to yours, because without your prayers and without your financial support, we would not be broadcasting right now. And mom right now, she's at the doctor getting some procedures done. What a year she's had as well. Wow. One of these days, we're really going to take a whole program and share with you some of the trials and tribulations that we have faced. And some of them are unbelievable. Some of them, not even Hollywood can produce such moments. But you know what? We're here. And we want to tell you that if we can make it,
amen,
then you can make it, right? Because we are an example of God's restoration.
Amen.
And if God can restore the Baker family, then God is going to restore you. Your family,
amen,
no matter what you're going through.
Amen.
You got me a little bit excited there for a moment, but I just love restoration. And I love how God is using this day and hour to bring us to where we are right now. And if you're trying to figure out what in the world is going on, just go to the Word.
Yes.
Go to Matthew 24, because, you know, the headlines are jumping out, screaming, the King is coming back. The King is coming back. And before he comes back, there's certain things that must take place. And our special guest today, he's going to be talking about, which you're not going to want to miss, three of the most important parts of this book that we're offering today that you're not going to want to miss. The mystery of Enoch, the mystery of Habakkuk, the mystery of the return of Jesus, how it ties into the Exodus. Listen, we are in that very hour where we must stand with sound doctrine, because the deception in our pulpits is deceiving millions of people, and people are facing a famine of the Word of God. They don't even understand what is happening. You don't want to be caught unaware.
Right.
You don't want to be one of those that doesn't know what's happening when you should have known all along on the signs that Jesus told his disciples, and it was written in his Word for us to know. But pray for California.
Yes.
This is what the San Francisco Gate is saying. Thick wildfire smoke blocks the sun, turns Bay Area sky orange.
Wow.
And I quote, extremely dense and tall smoke plumes from numerous large wildfires, some of which have been generating clouds. These are the firestorms are almost completely blocking out the sun. If that's not a sign from God, I don't know what is, folks. But I heard some reporters even say this could be an apocalyptic moment that we're experiencing right now. Another report, thousands evacuated as one in a generation fire burns through Oregon. Fox News reporting wildfires threaten firefighters' homes across California. Newsom warns peak yet to come. Wars and rumors of war. And if you watched yesterday's program, you heard our special guest, Joel Richardson, talk about the Middle East. Well, this is what's happening right now. Iran, American soil is now within the range of Iranian bombs. This is Bloomberg reporting. Iran warning U.S. to keep away from Persian Gulf military drills. The Gaston Institute is reporting this from Gordon Chang. China threatens total economic war by dumping treasuries. Fox News also reporting Gordon Chang warning China configuring its military to kill Americans. This is just some of the headline news that is just jumping out of the end times that we're facing right now. And we want to know more about that because our special guest has written books such as The Islamic Antichrist, The Middle East Beast, Mystery Babylon, When a Jew Rules the World. But his most important book to date is probably this one right now. This book, Sinai to Zion, The Untold Story of the Triumphant Return of Jesus. We must understand that the return of Christ is so near. Yes. Every event is screaming out, the King is coming back. And Joe, I want to welcome you to our audience. I want to welcome you to the Jim Baker Show. How you doing, Joe Richardson?
I'm doing great. It's good to be back with you guys again.
Joe, when you hear these headlines, what's going through your mind?
You know, there's obviously so much going on. My head is most often in the Middle East. But I tell you, the emergence and increasing hostility of China is definitely something to watch, not because I believe that it is specifically indicated within biblical prophecy, but because this could be one of the primary factors that leads to the diminishing of the United States in terms of its role in the globe. In biblical prophecy in the last days, you know, a lot of prophecy watchers, we say, why is America not front and center in biblical prophecy? And, you know, we speculate, well, maybe we get taken out or this type of thing. I don't like to go that far. I think that's reading a bit too much into it. But if indeed China stopped utilizing the petrodollar, if the American dollar was no longer the primary currency that was used, globally, we could see a dramatic diminishing of our economy in the days ahead, and thus our global influence. And so there's no question that the emergence of China, again, and their open hostility toward the United States is something that we really need to be aware of, paying attention, and preparing for as well.
Unbelievable. Some of the most eventful things that took place in Genesis and Exodus could be linked to the return of Christ. You don't want to miss the rest of this program. But Joe, let's review yesterday's question that you discussed pretty intimate, because I believe that if we don't understand the genesis of how things got started, we won't understand the revelation. So talk to us about how is it that the ultimate romance between God and Israel, how is that linked together?
Sure. Well, essentially in the book, what I'm showing is that understanding the Exodus is essential to understanding the return of Jesus, and specifically understanding a handful of most often overlooked or ignored Old Testament prophecies are critical to understanding the return of Jesus. So let me just read a verse. This is the first reference to the return of Jesus in the New Testament. Okay, it's Matthew 16, 27. It's Jesus. He's talking about his own return, and he says this. He says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will repay every man according to his deeds." So you have a few important themes here. Now, the reference, the Son of Man, what is he talking about? Because this is what I'm really wanting to do throughout the book, is to help the average Christian understand statements like this through the mindset of a first century Jew. How did Jesus understand this? How did his immediate audience understand it? The Son of Man is a clear reference back to Daniel 7. And in Daniel 7, you have this picture of someone who is like a Son of Man. In other words, he's in the form of a human. He's an anthropomorphic form, right? He's got legs and arms and, you know, a body, but yet he is coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, if you understand the Old Testament, you understand that coming on the clouds of heaven is something that only Yahweh God Almighty does. And so here you have this divine figure. This is God Almighty, but yet he's in the form of a man. And so Jesus says, that guy, that one spoken of back in Daniel chapter 7, that's me. And so make no mistake, when Jesus called himself the Son of Man, more than any other name, any other title throughout the entire New Testament, 78 times, more than Son of God, more than Messiah, more than anything else, he called himself the Son of Man. He was declaring himself to be the promised one. He was declaring himself to be God Almighty, who came down in the clouds, who came down in fire on Mount Sinai, but who's coming back at the end of the age, once again, in the clouds, in fire, as he did throughout the Exodus. And so the Jewish mind, when they heard these statements, they understood what Jesus was claiming. And in fact, they understood that it was, they accused him of blasphemy. They said, you know, are all these charges true? He said, I tell you the truth, from now on, you will see the Son of Man coming at the right hand of his Father in judgment. They said, we don't need to hear anything else. So it's very clear what Jesus was stating, but understanding these Old Testament prophecies, these, again, overlooked Old Testament prophecies, they are the key that helps us to understand what is being said throughout the New Testament.
Unbelievable. Order this book right now, 1-888-988-1588, or you can go to the website, jimbakershow.com, to get more information, more insight on what this book is about. This is what one of our dear friends said about this book, Mike Bickle. We love you, Mike Bickle. This is by far the best book that I've ever read on the biblical narrative related on the second coming of Jesus. If you're a pastor, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a person that loves to read the Word of God, you're not going to want to miss this book. I'm telling you, it takes you, it weaves in and out from the Old to the New Testament and helps you understand that God was there all this time. God was with Israel. God had, you know, took care of Israel. All God wanted for Israel to do was to be thankful and to be obedient. And listen, the revelation of and the action and the love story and the drama and the comedy. And, I mean, everything is wrapped into one teaching. And this book is going to give you so many different emotions that you're going to be so thankful to really be fed by the true Word of God and being able to withstand some of the deception that is taking place from our pulpits today. It saddens me today that we're not teaching the full Word of God. It's like the doctrine has escaped. We have compromised the Word of God to pleasing the people and pleasing what they should want to hear. And it feels like the church has become, I hate to say this, a spiritual coaching gym to make you feel good. You know what? The Word of God takes you through so many different emotions, but the key is that it gives you hope. It gives you discipline. It gives you obedience, that if we are just thankful, then we will understand solely the character of God.
Yes, amen.
Don't you feel that
yes.
way about this book?
Absolutely. This is a powerful book, you know, and you have to get it. You have to understand the days that we're living in. And really just the excitement that every single one of us should be looking forward with anticipation for the return of the Lord. And Joel, I want to go a little bit deeper. You say that the return of Jesus is the greatest exodus. Can you explain that to us?
Sure. So there's been some talk in the church, you know, among prophecy teachers, that in the last days, many of the inhabitants of Israel, many of the Jews would actually flee. And they often talk about fleeing to Petra because they are looking at a few different verses in the prophets that indicate this. And I would say absolutely. But I would argue that they're going to flee not just to Petra, but to the entire southern desert of the Exodus, that there's going to be a massive flight of many of the refugees. Now, many as well, the scriptures say, will be taken as prisoners of war. But many will flee, and they'll flee to the deserts that are to the south and to the east of Israel. The Bible talks actually a lot about this, and it's going to be from Petra all the way down to Mount Sinai in what I believe is modern-day northwest Saudi Arabia. I don't believe the traditional Mount Sinai is the real Mount Sinai. And when Jesus returns, now please hear this, he doesn't just come back from heaven with a magic wand and wave his magic wand, and instantly everything is made new. There is a complex series of events. There is a carrying out. He comes back with a sword and he defeats and kills and slays his enemies and the armies of the Antichrist, and he will literally deliver his people. And in the same way that with the first Exodus, Israel was led out of bondage, out of Egypt, Jesus is coming back as the greater Moses to literally deliver his people from prison camps of the Antichrist, as prisoners of war, many of those who have fled into the desert, the wilderness of the Exodus. He will bring them back. And the scriptures actually describe a triumphal procession, a parade, a glorious procession, make a highway through the desert that proceeds from Sinai to Mount Zion, where he will be enthroned in Jerusalem as the king, as the son of David, in fulfillment of all of that which the prophets have been declaring. And the scriptures, the prophets actually describe all of this in amazing detail. And it's a story that almost every Christian is completely unfamiliar with. And yet it's embedded really quite clearly in numerous prophecies. And so the purpose of the book is to tell this story of God's final restoration of Israel, when all of Israel that remains will turn to him, will all of Israel will be saved, not just spiritually, but literally. And they will proceed with him up to Jerusalem. And the restoration of the kingdom of David, the restoration of the Garden of Eden, the restoration of the kingdom of David, yea, something much better will take place. And that's how the scriptures describe his return. It's not just a very simple, truncated, overly simplified event. It's a beautiful story. And that's the story that the book is telling.
Wow. I love this study. Listen, this is what the Word of God says about studying the Word. And I love what Joe's teaching, because we have to come together. This is that 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show yourself approved by God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Let us come together. Let us study the word of God. We need to be able to study more in depth about our Savior, about our King, about this word. We have never in the history of America have experienced such lack of intimacy and word of God. Listen, they're trying to make this book a hate speech book, but when you read it, it's a book of love.
Yes,
it's a book of romance. It's a book of hope. Yes. It's a book that will reveal to you who God is.
Yes.
We have taken something so simple and we've complicated to the point where wars have been started. Wars are taking place because of how we complicated the word of God. And Joe is teaching us inside of his book, inside of what he studied, about how the word of God really it reveals itself to us when we study it, when we go into it. And for me, we must understand that God wants to reveal himself to you.
Yeah.
We want you to get this book in your hand. We want you to have the word of God in your hand. And right now, you can have this book and get into your hands, read about it, get your Bible out and start reading. This book has so much scripture that it's going to give you an alliance with the Word of God, and it's not going to veer you off from anything else. Listen, you may not agree fully on what we teach on this program, and that's okay. And we may not agree with you. But it's not about arguing. It's about coming together and studying the Word of God and being able to rightly divide it so we can enrich our souls and enrich our spirit with this revelation that Joe has had.
And Joel, you asked, you know, whenever I was reading your book, you asked a very important question that I really believe we need to ask all ourselves, every single one of us. We need to be asking ourselves this as the church. You say here in your book, you say, as regarding to the return of Christ, you say, why have we made it such a secondary and even negotiable matter?
Wow.
That's so profound. But will you speak to that? Because I think that's an important question. We've made the return of Jesus even sometimes a negotiable matter. What do you mean by that?
As Mondo said, oftentimes, much of what we hear, and I don't want to be overly critical, but it is true that much of what we hear from modern American pulpits today, it's kind of a pep rally. It's a self-embetterment speech. It's, you know, just sort of positive self-improvement and how to get through this life, this age, how to experience your best life now and this type of thing. And that's just fundamentally foreign to the biblical mind. To the biblical mind, it's we're pilgrims here. We're strangers here. We're patiently waiting. All of creation, Romans 8, is groaning, is yearning for the reestablishment of the kingdom of Israel, the Davidic kingdom, the restoration of Eden, the renewal of all things about which all of the prophets have been speaking. And so the return of Jesus in the church, it's kind of viewed as just a weird subject that we're almost a little bit embarrassed of. We're embarrassed by some of the excesses that are often associated with talking about the end times or the Antichrist or the mark of the beast and all of those things. But the reality is the return of Jesus is the very heart of biblical hope, the heart of the gospel. We are not, our greatest hope right now is not that we win an election. Our greatest hope is that our king comes back and fixes this mess, right? And so this is the heart. Look, right now, we were talking before the show. My wife's about to go get a surgery. The doctors are very concerned. Like, life is a battle. It's a battle for all of us. And it will be a battle up until the very end, until we lay down this body or until the rapture. And the rapture is the return of Jesus. And so this is about reorienting the modern Christian mind, not to the things of this world, not to the things of this age, not to the things of this time and this system, but reorienting our focus to the biblical focus, to the things that the Bible focuses on, which is the restoration of all things, the return of Jesus, the establishment of the King on Mount Zion, the redemption of our bodies, the resurrection, you know, all of these things. It's about coming back to the simplicity of the gospel.
Unbelievable. Yes, Joe, you really are helping us understand. Yes. You got an amazing man, a theological seminary president, Walter Kaiser Jr. This is what he says about your book. He says, and I quote, "It is always a joy to read what Joel Richardson has to say, especially on the topic of the second coming of our Lord. Once again, he has delivered a fascinating study that begins at Sinai and goes all the way to Jerusalem. Mm. I urge you to enjoy this challenging work on what will take place when Christ returns." Mm, we want you to get this book in your hands. Matter of fact, we want you to get three of them. Get one for yourself, get one for your best friend, and give one to share with someone that loves to study religious things and themes and whatnot. This offer right now is of three books for a donation of $65 to the ministry. That includes shipping and handling. Sinai to Zion books, three of them for a donation of $65. Call us right now as we continue to talk with Joel Richardson at 1-888-988-1588. Or you can go to the website, jimbakershow.com. Or you can still write us today. Remember, we are not able to do credit card processing right now. Write us a check. Continue to write those checks, electronic checks, if you're going to do online or telephone. But again, you want to write us a note. Let us know you're thinking about us. Share your thoughts about today's program. You can write right now to Jim Baker, P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Yes. What do you think, Lori?
I am loving this. I am just loving this teaching. Joel, one of the things that we have heard for so many years is that Israel is God's chosen nation. And what I want to ask you is, why did God choose Israel as his possession or the jewel on his crown? Why did he do that?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Lord had a process. He had a program. Now, his desire, and it's laid out very clearly in Genesis 12 with the Abrahamic covenant, his desire has always been to have a people from every tongue, tribe, people, and nation, right? You name it. The Lord loves all peoples. But in order to accomplish that end goal, he called a guy. He just called a guy named Abram at the time, and he asked him to leave behind his family, his culture, his hometown, so to speak, and move to another foreign land. It's just really just simple, mundane kind of story. And then he turned that man into a family, turned that family into a people, into a nation. And then he gave them Torah. And he created in them a culture. They became a womb that would bring forth Jesus, through which, of course, people from every tongue, tribe, people, and nation would be saved. But we have to understand the program that he has used to do this, and to understand that he has never done away with, he has never moved on from his original plan to choose Israel as a holy priesthood, a special people, a his prized possession, whereby he would accomplish this. And so I've harped over the years on the errors and the problems with replacement theology. And there's no question that when you understand the biblical narrative, the biblical story, there is no room for replacement theology. Israel is God's chosen people. They still are God's chosen people. And you could say that God so loved the world that he chose Israel, because its salvation is from Israel. It's through Israel that Jesus and the gospel would ultimately come, and continues to come today.
Wow. Joe, before we get into part three of this book, I got to ask this because it's so important. Yes. We love Israel. This ministry loves Israel. We went to Israel. We fell in love with Israel. We read about it. We studied scripture about it. We saw pictures of Israel in books for so many years. And to be in that land was an absolute highlight of our lives. And I will never forget Jerusalem. Well, I will never forget seeing it for the first time. But also it brought sadness to my heart that a lot of Christians would turn their backs on Israel. Why is it an absolute non-negotiable that Christians must resolve now to stand with Israel in full solidarity, both today and during the coming days of fire and great trial?
Well, I have a chapter in the book on the time of Jacob's trouble. And the scriptures are clear, as I mentioned already, that the armies of the Antichrist will surround and invade Judah, southern Israel, and Jerusalem. And Jesus warned, when these things take place, flee. Flee to the mountains. And when he says mountains, he means the mountains of the deserts of the Exodus. And so Israel as a people, they have been the most persecuted, hated, consistently satanically hounded people down throughout history. And sadly, those days are not over. But we, who are Gentile believers, we are part of this program. We are grafted into this commonwealth. And it's our duty, it's our responsibility to stand with Israel in the coming days. And we will be persecuted as well. But quite frankly, you look back to World War II, and for the most part, there were many shining examples, Corrie ten Boom and Dietrich Bonhoeffer and so on and so forth. But for the most part, the church failed. The church failed to stand with God's people during the Holocaust. And yet the scriptures are clear that a time of trouble, unparalleled, unlike anything that has ever happened since the time there was a nation until the last days, is yet coming. And these things are real. These things have very real application to us today. And so we need to resolve to stand with Israel in terms of God's purposes and in their time of tribulation. It's important that we stand with Israel and with the God of Israel.
Amen.
Absolutely. We cannot forget what was done to the Jews. And there's nations like Iran, you know, it's unreal what's happening, saying that the Holocaust never happened. Wow. Today's students are not taught about the Holocaust. Therefore, you have a generational gap that doesn't understand the history, doesn't understand what the Jews have been through. The church has dismissed, not all the church, but there's a part of the church that has dismissed the Jews and the history of Israel. And it's like they're anti everything about Israel and calling people out, calling ministries out and fighting over this. Listen, the Bible clearly says, if you bless them, I will bless you. I think you read that scripture the other day on the broadcast. Mm-hmm. You know, the blessing that goes into it. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Yes. I mean, the God has asking us throughout scripture to always watch for the Jews, to take care of them, to listen. We are in that very hour where a generation is being deceived, even from the history. We're trying to erase history in America. Mm-hmm. We're trying to, not trying, they are, they have tore down historic monuments that remind us of our past. We don't celebrate those men that were cruel and the men. No, it's a reminder of what not to do again. It's a reminder not to repeat the past. But if you erase the past, where are we going to grab for the future? Mm-hmm. How are we going to learn from the past if we're trying to erase every mistake? America hasn't been perfect. We all know that. No country has ever been perfect. But this country has been blessed by God. Yes. And when we bless and stand with Israel, can you imagine the blessing that will be unloosed in this country when we stand with Israel? One of the most prophetic things that ever took place was when the president declared, you know, Jerusalem being the capital of Israel. When the president opened up the U.S. embassy in Israel, that was a declaration that we're standing with Israel. That was a declaration that we will bless Israel. And I believe when you watch the trajectory of those events, Joel, it seems like when the president stood with Israel physically, it's like every demonic spirit was unloosed in America. Mm. And but you know what? It's in this hour where we must stand with Israel. The church must stand with Israel. We cannot turn our backs on Israel. This nation, that's what we ask you to vote, a president that will stand with Israel, a nation that will stand with Israel. And Joe, for so many years, we have not understood the stories of Israel and the Jews, of how they went and spent 40 years in the desert wandering around. We got to get into part three of this book. Because Enoch was so historic, and God spoke about Enoch, but it seems like Enoch was erased from history of the church. Let's get into part three of your book, and let's go wherever you want to go. I want to hear more about Enoch. Enoch has always intrigued me, but let's go ahead and start with part three, wherever you want to start at.
Okay, so let's begin here. We'll get to Enoch, but let's begin here. Yes, there are difficult times coming for Israel. And we know those times are coming because I'm going to read a verse here. This is Isaiah 35. Now, again, we need to think of Scripture in terms of the history and the development of how Revelation unfolded. So by the time of Isaiah is building upon prophecies that have already been stated, themes and ideas that have already been taught by Moses, by other prophets before him. But here in Isaiah 35, verses 2 through 4, he's speaking of the return of Jesus. He's speaking of the coming of the Messiah, and here's what he says. They will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Encourage the exhausted, strengthen the feeble. That's all of us right now. We're exhausted. Say to those with an anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come. Now, what does he come with? With vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. So here's a picture of Yahweh God Almighty. He's coming back to save Israel. He's coming back with vengeance, with recompense. Now, where does this idea begin? Where do these concepts and these themes begin? Well, it begins, the very first passage is Deuteronomy 33. This is the foundation text. This is the blessing of Moses. It's a prophecy that he gave just before his death. And he said, the Lord comes from Sinai. Now, there's an important point here. When he says comes, this is in the Hebrew perfect tense, okay? The perfect tense can be past tense, it can be present tense, it can be ongoing, or it can be came, comes, is coming, will come. And translators assign a tense to it based on context. So because translators look at this verse and they go, God's coming from Sinai, they go, well, this must be the Exodus. They usually translate it as past tense. God came from Sinai. But the truth is, the fact is, it can just as legitimately read, God will come from Sinai. And I believe that is actually the proper translation. Yahweh will come from Sinai. This is talking about the return of Jesus. He will dawn on them from Seir. These are the mountains to the south of Israel, the desert of the Exodus. He will shine forth from Mount Paran, the imagery and the language of the rising of the sun, of the radiance of the glory of God. Now get this, he will come forth from the midst of 10,000 holy ones. At his right hand, there is flashing lightning. This is all the language of the return of Jesus. Again, when Isaiah talks about God coming with vengeance, with the recompense of God, he's referring back to Deuteronomy 33. We cited Jesus referring to his own return, Matthew 16. The Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father. He's shining forth with his angels. Again, this idea of God coming from heaven with his angels begins back in Deuteronomy 33. So it's this foundation text of Deuteronomy 33 of God coming with radiant glory, coming from Sinai. This idea becomes the basis for many, many other later prophecies, such as Isaiah 63. Isaiah looks down. He sees this majestic one marching forward from Edom, southern Jordan, from the region of the desert of the Exodus. And he's soaked in blood, Mondo. He's soaked in blood because the day of his vengeance has come, and he is literally killing his enemies. He's crushing them like grapes. And so these prophecies, they dominate. Now, I'm going to give pause here for you to add comment, and we'll jump into the issue of Enoch, because Enoch is an amazing, amazing prophecy, and I know you want to touch on it.
I do. Well, I mean, what a vivid picture of who our God is.
Right.
I don't know where you got the idea that God is weak. Yeah. I don't know where you got the idea that God is not a mighty God. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the lily in the valley. He's the bright and morning star. I mean, God is a mighty God.
Yes.
You ever heard that song? Oh, what a mighty God we serve. I'm telling you, our God is a mighty God, and for us to belittle him, let us never forget who our God is.
Right.
Let us never forget what God created.
Yes.
Let us never forget that without God, we become discombobulated, we destroy. It's like we go astray when we don't have our God guiding us and directing us. What a vivid picture you painted, Joe. So simple to remind us that we serve a mighty God.
Yeah,
that when we're weak, he is strong. That when we're broken, he restores. This is a message for you right now. Grab it for yourself. That no matter what you're going through, no matter what the battle looks like, just know that you have a mighty God leading you. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Amen.
Listen, God is a mighty God, and throughout scripture, he reminds us who he has been all this time.
Yes.
I want to get into Enoch, but order the book. Get the book right now. Get three of them. Get one for yourself. Get one for your best friend. Get one for your pastor. Give one just to pass it out. Listen, this is the good news of the gospel right here. It has scripture throughout from the beginning to the end of this book, Sinai to Zion, the untold story of the triumphant return of Jesus.
Mm.
Who doesn't want to know about the return of God?
Right.
Who doesn't want to know about the return and the events that take place? Order it right now. Call us right now, 1-888-988-1588. Or you can go to the website, jimbakershow.com. Joe, let's go right into it. Our time is fine. What is going on with the prophecy of Enoch? Why is Enoch so important?
Yeah, I'm going to jump in. Let me say this real quick, Mondo. This book is for those who love to study the Bible. It's for those who love the return of Jesus. If you say, why would I want to buy three? I've written this for Bible study groups. You want to get together with your home group, your church, and study it. This is, everyone get one. You can go through chapter by chapter. If you like heavy duty, and it is heavy duty Bible study, but it's dripping with revelation, then, you know, everyone get one and do it as a group, and it will be profoundly edifying. Okay, so Enoch. Now, first, let me just say, Enoch is not canon. It's not scripture. We have to trust that it didn't make its way into the New Testament for a reason. It came awfully close, But the Lord in his sovereignty sought not to put it there. However, it does have truth in it. In fact, Jude quotes part of Enoch, and it makes its way into the New Testament as the Word of God. Okay, so 1 Enoch chapter 1. I mean, this is the very beginning of Enoch. Now, this is a book that would have been well known by Jesus and the disciples in the first century. It was very popular. And it begins by saying this: "The words of the blessing which Enoch blessed the righteous chosen who will be present on the day of tribulation." I have to stop there. Enoch did not believe in the pre-tribulational rapture. Enoch believed the righteous chosen will be present during the day of tribulation. And then he goes on and he says, now this prophecy is not for this generation, but for a very distant generation. Do I speak? And then he says, verse 4, "The great Holy One will come forth from his dwelling," that's in heaven, "the eternal God will tread from there upon Mount Sinai. He will appear with his army. He will appear with his mighty host from the heaven of heavens." Do you see the themes? God will come from heaven with all of his angels, with his armies. And then skipping forward is the portion in roughly verse 8 that Jude quotes in Jude verse 14. He says, "Look, he comes with myriads of his holy ones to execute judgment on all, to destroy the wicked, to convict humanity for the wicked deeds they have done, the proud and harsh words that wicked sinners have spoken against him." So you have all of these themes. God comes from heaven with his holy ones to execute vengeance against the wicked, to repay the righteous. And these themes, again, everyone will acknowledge that Jude is talking about the return of Jesus. Well, Jude is quoting Enoch. Enoch is quoting Deuteronomy 33. Okay, so Enoch is essentially the bridge between Jude and Deuteronomy 33, the foundation prophecy. And so here, Enoch actually says that God will come from heaven, and he actually says he will come to Mount Sinai. Whether he will land on Mount Sinai or not, I don't know, but the scriptures actually do describe him as marching through the desert from Sinai, as he did during the Exodus when he led them with the pillar of cloud and fire, except he will come back in the form of a man, radiant in glory, marching through the desert, defeating his enemies, pouring out the wrath of God, delivering his people, and marching and making procession up to Mount Zion, from Sinai to Zion.
Wow. Amen. Wow. So exciting.
Listen, all I can think of is Jim Baker, your friend, would have been best friends with Enoch. I'm telling you, they parallel so much. But I want to tell you, Joe, what an insight. To have more insight on what Joe has just shared right now, you got to get this book. Wow, what an important time to have a Bible study. Have a Zoom Bible study. Have a Skype Bible study. Have a Google, Hangouts Bible study. Do it right now. What a moment to know the Word of God. The key events that can really shape to understand how Jesus will make his return. What will take place? Who are the key players that will play a part of the return? Don't you want to know? Yes, I want to know. Yes. I love the mysteries. And this book right here, Sinai to Zion, the untold story of the triumphant return of Jesus. Yeah. It's a must read. It's a must have. And by the way, when you order this book, I will urge you to get a Restoration Bible. If you don't have a Bible, if you know someone that doesn't have a Bible, you want to have a Bible study with them, get the Restoration Bible offer that we're offering to you right now. This is for a donation of $40 to the ministry, and we are going to send you a free gift of another Bible. And I want to tell you something, what a better gift to give someone that is a book that can change lives. And if you are a person that loves to study religion and religious events and the return of Jesus, and if you're one of those people that are a student of the Word of God, I want to tell you something. This yes. book is for you, yes. and you want to get a Bible next to it. And listen, let's keep Joe accountable through the Word of God, right? No, I'm kidding. No, listen, anybody Amen. That teaches you about the return of Jesus, you want to have the scripture to be able to understand where amazing. Those scriptures are. And listen, you soon will know more about the Bible than most Bible scholars are teaching today, more than what preachers are teaching today. And I'm not downing, I'm a preacher myself. And but I want to tell you something. We got to get back to the Word. Amen. We got to get back to the Word. And that's the prophecy that our dad gave at the beginning of this year, that we must return to the Word of God. Amen. We must listen. Unbelievable events will be taking place. Dad said, prepare yourself for shocking events. If you want to be shockproof, read the Word.
Amen.
And then alongside, have this book right here. This book right here will make you shockproof. And if you want to learn about theology and what, listen, this book right here will really empower you to understand the Word of God.
And what a great salvation tool. Yes. You know, as there's so many people out there that are wondering, the return of Jesus can be, you know, you have so many questions. How will this happen? But when you can equip yourself with the tools like this, so when you have someone come to you and they ask, what about the return of Jesus? You know exactly where to send them
yes,
to the Word of God.
Right.
You can give them this book so that they can learn for themselves as well. That's what I'm thinking yes. of all the people that I can share this with as a salvation tool.
Amen.
So thank you, Joel, for following the Lord's lead and delivering this book.
Yes.
And I have one more question.
Yes,
I know our
absolutely.
Time is kind of short, but the prayer of Habakkuk, can you tell us what is so important about that?
The prayer of Habakkuk is actually the longest and most detailed theophany in the entire Bible. What is a theophany? It is the appearing of God. But here's the thing, is that it's not just a poetic description of the appearing of God. It actually describes the return of Jesus. And so just like Isaiah 63, just like Habakkuk 1, just like Deuteronomy 33, it describes this majestic one as he is marching from Sinai up through the southern deserts. And it describes things. It says plague goes before him. Pestilence follows in his steps. It says lightning or fire comes out of his hands where his power was hid. So it gives us incredible detail. And there's one verse at the end that I just love. It says that he will crush the head of the house of the wicked. Now, what is that? That's a reference back to the crushing one of Genesis 3:15. And then translations vary, but there's one translation that I love. It says, he will lay him open from tail to neck. Some translations say from thigh to neck. It's actually describing the slaying of the Antichrist, and yea, even Satan himself, by the majestic warrior. The scriptures say Yahweh is a warrior. He is a man of war. Psalm 110, a messianic prophecy, says he will slay unrighteous kings on the day of his wrath. And so Habakkuk 3 is one more of these glorious messianic prophecies. It's become one of my all-time favorite chapters. And I ask people, have you ever studied Habakkuk 3? And you know, people, their eyes glaze over. I believe it's time for the church to reacquaint itself with Habakkuk 3 and Psalm 68 and so many of these other prophecies that we really dig into, because there's so much beauty in all of them. And I believe that your eyes will fall in love just like I have.
Unbelievable. If listen, this book keeps getting better and better. You included an appendix with the topic Leviathan. And if you watch this program, you know that our father or mom and even several guests have spoken and taught about the spirit of Leviathan. But how is Leviathan a part of the Exodus and the return of Jesus?
Yeah, so essentially the story of creation. Okay, so right at the beginning of the Bible, it is what's called a polemic against some of these other pagan narratives, the Baal cycle or the Marduk story, the Babylonian Marduk story. And it's the story of Yahweh Almighty who brings the chaos, the deep, the Tehom, this chaotic mess He brings it into order. He separates the day from night and the seas from the dry land and all of these things. But behind that picture is this underlying kind of imagery of the Lord slaying and subduing Leviathan, because the seas or the Tahom, the chaos, this is in the Hebrew mind, that's the lair, the dwelling of Leviathan. And later in Revelation, Leviathan is revealed to be the dragon, Satan, or the devil. Okay, so in creation, God himself brings order, but it's during the Exodus that the prophets use the language when the Lord split the Red Sea. He once again was displaying his power over the realm of Satan, the lair of Satan, over the waters, the chaos waters. He is in control, and it uses the language of the Lord slaying Leviathan, leaving his body on the shore. When he defeats Pharaoh, it uses the poetic language of God slaying Leviathan or Rahab or the sea monster. And then later in the book of Revelation, that language comes back as the beast, as the Leviathan, the dragon, comes up out of the sea. And so we need to understand that three times in biblical history where this language is used is at the beginning of creation, is at the Exodus, and then ultimately again in the book of Revelation. And so the Lord slayed Leviathan at the beginning. He gave us a deposit in the Exodus, but the ultimate destruction of Leviathan, of the dragon, of Satan, is yet to come when Jesus returns. That's when the deal will be sealed and there will be no more. He will not come back ever again. It will be the final destruction of Leviathan, the dragon, that serpent of old. And that's the day, Mondo, that you and I and everyone in all of creation is yearning and longing for.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Wow. Yes. What
a
great ending.
Okay, I just have to say, if this doesn't excite you, come on, church.
Yes.
If this doesn't excite you, when you hear the narrative of what Joel Richardson, the picture that he's painting for us, I'm sorry, but if it doesn't excite you, you got to get up and move around and do something, because this is the greatest time for the church.
Amen.
For you and I, this is the amazing promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are a part of his army.
Yes.
We are a part. We are on the great warrior side, and we know that he wins.
Yes.
We know how the story ends. And so I'm sorry, but I'm like, I'm sitting here and it just fires me up, because I'm saying, guess what? When you go to battle, which we are in the greatest battle, we will be a part of that great time of battle. Guess what? There's no room for fear.
That's right.
Must be cast aside. And so as we see the days approaching, as we see the return of the Lord coming, we must cast aside all fear and understand that the King of Kings is coming back. And he's coming for you. He's coming for me. And we get to see with our eyes the great Lord coming upon the cloud. But as I sat here, Mondo, I'm like, we've just gotten a glimpse.
Yeah.
There's no way that Joel could even go into the depth of what this book is teaching us. We barely even just went on the surface of the topics and the teachings and the revelation. And I'm sorry, but today we need to get excited, church.
Yes.
We need for the church, the body of Christ, to have some excitement and for people to look at us and say, I want what you have, whatever it is that you have. I want it. And that is the gospel. That is Jesus Christ, the one that we put our faith in. We put our hope in. And we know that God casts aside. He casts away all fear. So I just want to encourage you today, you know, truly, get your hands.
Yes.
Get your hands on the book that is going to revolutionize your faith. It's going to wake you up and make you realize you will see the great and mighty event that the Lord has talked about, that the prophets have shared with us. Mm. You know, I always say, I'm like, they wish that they could be in our generation. They foretold about this very moment, yet you and I get to experience. So call us right now at 1-888-988-1588. Get your book, get your copy of the book today. But as Joel mentioned, and I was like, yes, I'm so glad you said it. He said, get the three for a Bible study. I cannot tell you, when I was reading it, I wanted someone to talk about it. It was so mind-blowing, the journey that he was walking, that we were walking through. Now is the time to be a part of the greatest coming of the Lord.
Absolutely. Amen. Surely the Lord God does nothing Amen. Without revealing his purpose to his servants, the prophets.
Yes.
Get the book today. Our time is gone. Joe, we can spend hours and hours just devouring the Word of God, learning from you. Thank you for being on the program. And on behalf of Mom and Dad, we want to thank you. We're praying for you and your family.
Amen.
But go right now and order the book, Sinai to Zion, the untold story of the triumphant return of Jesus. Get three of them right now for a donation of $65 to the ministry. You know, Joe Richardson is a New York Times bestselling author, and this book is probably, perhaps, the best book he's ever written.
It's amazing.
Order it today. Also, by the way, don't forget about our new generators are out. You're ordering them. We brought them to you.
Yes.
Get them today. We don't have time to talk about them. So much is happening around the world. So much is happening in our nation. We must be ready. We must be prepared. And we want to give you that option today. Order your food. We have an amazing offer before we leave the air, the Joseph Storehouse. Can you talk about that? We want the church to be prepared.
Yes,
this offer right here, we've done it just for you, Pastor.
Right.
You've called us. So many pastors have called and asked us if we have a big church offer, and we sure do.
Yes, and we want you to be prepared. You know, I really believe that as we are preparing, these are tools. You know, truly for us, we just stand on the mandate that the Lord has given us, that we as the church are to be the ones who are going to be there to help prepare you and be an answer. The church should be an answer, a place of hope, a place of safety. And so the Joseph Storehouse is a brand new offer that we just put together, and that's 115 buckets of the 30-year shelf life food for a donation of $10,000, and that also includes the shipping and handling in that offer. But Mono, that's 115 buckets, different items. And like we said, you know, it always goes back to truly being prepared as the church, that we may be able to use it as a tool. What will that hurt us? I always tell people, what is it going to hurt you to be able to feed those who are hungry, to be able to feed those bellies and be able to truly preach the gospel to them? What will that hurt you? It won't hurt you. I just say for myself, I will use it as a tool, God. I believe that in those times, God will bless the fact that I prepared, and he will use it for his glory, because he always uses it for his glory.
Absolutely. Yeah. Give us a call today, 1-888-988-1588.
Yes.
Or you can go to the website, jimbakershow.com. You can still write us today at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Order your food today. Get your generator. And don't forget to get the book.
Yes.
We love you. Thank you for watching today. Thank you for your prayers. And your friend, our father, Jim Baker, and our mother, Lori Baker, will be back on the next broadcast. Until then, remember that God loves you.
He really does.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to The Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.